You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
You are Locked On Bears, and I'm your host, Lauren Cox from BearsWire and Pro Football Focus, bringing you informative and entertaining Chicago Bears analysis. Today, we are finally wrapping up our look ahead at the Chicago Bears regular season schedule, the final game of our look here, the last non-divisional opponent on the schedule, and that is the San Francisco 49ers. They're kind of the other team in the NFC here that has kind of been on the outside looking in for a little while. They've got their offensive head coach and their quarterback, a lot of similarities to the Chicago Bears, perhaps even more so than any team we've gone through on the schedule preview. So we'll talk to our friend David Newman from Pro Football Focus on Jimmy Garoppolo and what the expectations are for him. You know, Jerick McKinnon being added to that offense. They added some pieces to their offensive line as well. And we'll also get to their defense with a pretty young group across the board. And with that, there is room for optimism and also room for question marks. So we'll kind of, you know, tease that apart a little bit and find where the truth kind of lies in the middle here with the 49ers defense. Joining us now on the Locked On Bears podcast is David Newman. You can follow him on Twitter at @PFF_David because he's now a full-time employee of Pro Football Focus, a recent hire, David, so congratulations to you. Also, he used to cover the San Francisco 49ers on the Better Rivals podcast, something he's since had to move on from since joining Pro Football Focus, but he's always been a 49ers guy, so of course we got to get him on the podcast here to break down what will be the last non-divisional opponent on the Chicago Bears schedule this season. David, welcome to the PFF full-time group, and how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, man. Yeah, thanks. Thanks on the congrats. Thanks on having me on. I'm excited to talk a little 49ers.
Well, it seems like this offseason, the first one with Jimmy Garoppolo in the fold, it's a time of excitement, I'm sure. Has it been, you know, from the 49ers perspective, just kind of all big smiles and rainbows this offseason with him and Kyle Shanahan? Or, you know, have there been any points of drama or, you know, real controversy or just concern this offseason? Or has it pretty much been this honeymoon phase?
Oh, man, definitely still a honeymoon phase, I think. You know, there's been, I think, maybe a little bit of concern here and there over him and kind of these deep passes. That was like really one of the big areas that he, or maybe one of the only areas that he struggled during that 5-game stretch last season. So you get some random comments, you know, here and there about that and some mild concern. But overall, I think, everybody's super optimistic about not only him, but the pairing of him with Kyle Shanahan and, you know, kind of where this offense especially can go with a full offseason for him to be able to grasp that system and not kind of having to wing it and go week to week like he did last season.
Yeah, I'm sure there's some similarities here between the expectations for Garoppolo in San Francisco and Mitchell Trubisky in Chicago. But, you know, with Jimmy G, 5 games, went 5-0, 7 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. I mean, has the expectations for this year started to get a little bit out of hand? And I mean, like, where is a fair and reasonable spot? I mean, I'm sure you've had 49ers fans looking for 4,000 yards, but is that fair? I mean, where is the level of where Jimmy Garoppolo should get to in year, I guess, sort of year one, but year 1.5?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's probably like you start with the fact that, right, he's not going to win every game. And I think most people, even though there's a lot of jokes about how he's never lost a game and how, you know, until we see evidence to the contrary, that we're just going to believe that that's how it's going to work. You know, beyond that, I think from like a stat standpoint, I think it's reasonable to expect a decent amount of production. You know, that doesn't necessarily mean that his actual level of performance won't see a little bit more ups and downs and, you know, he won't have some rough patches here and there. But I think we've seen, you know, Kyle Shanahan and his ability to be able to kind of like generate offense for almost regardless of who's there and kind of who's, you know, on offense there in terms of the skill position players that he's working with. So I think you feel really good about his ability to kind of scheme things up and get his players in advantageous spots. And then Garoppolo is very clearly, you know, I think even on it, his floor is better than what they were working with before. You know, you think of, You know, Blaine Gabbert, and then last year, Brian Hoyer, CJ Beathard before Garoppolo took over. I mean, at worst, there's a very clear upgrade from those type of players. So I think, yeah, from like a production standpoint, something like 4,000 yards, right, which breaks down to 250 yards a game. I don't think that type of stuff is unreasonable. I think where you start to get a little unreasonable with where this team's at right now is when you start talking about, you know, serious Super Bowl contenders and kind of making this deep playoff run. That, I think, is a little much at this stage, but certainly some optimism to improve from 6-10 and kind of just the overall level of play they've been at for the last few years.
Well, they certainly put some emphasis on improving those skill positions around Jimmy Garoppolo. And I guess the big one was Jerick McKinnon with the investment at the running back position. I know that from an efficiency standpoint, that's something that always kind of gets called into question. And McKinnon was never a big, you know, numbers guy, and the yards per carry wasn't ever quite exactly where you want it there. I mean, with the team investing so much in him, is the expectation that, you know, Kyle Shanahan's going to work his magic a little bit and just put him in the best position to be successful? Or did you personally predict some level of disappointment there based on just that level of investment in him? Or is this supposed to unlock something in McKinnon that maybe we haven't fully seen from his time in Minnesota?
I definitely think there's some hope that you have a guy with McKinnon who's been impressive in kind of those small samples, you know, the times that he's been able to actually get some decent playing time in Minnesota. He's generally performed really well. You know, I know last year for us was the 12th highest graded running back over the season. And I think he has shown the ability to really have some value in the passing game, which was really a big upgrade from what they had last year. I mean, you looked at Carlos Hyde and then Matt Breida in his rookie season, and really as a backfield, they were probably the worst backfield in the NFL from a receiving standpoint, just had almost no value there. They were the top two running backs in terms of drop passes last season. They also struggled in pass protection. So there just weren't a lot of redeeming qualities with that backfield last year in terms of catching the ball. And you look at somebody like McKinnon, and that's kind of been a little bit more of an area of strength for him. So he was really good there last year. And of course, everybody looks back to that, 2016 Atlanta season for Shanahan in terms of what he can really do with the running back position in the passing game. You know, looking at what Freeman and Coleman were able to do that season, I think it's easy to kind of slot McKinnon into doing some of those similar things where he can line up wide on the outside, line up in the slot, run some more receiver type routes, which is something that Shanahan really likes to do with his backs in the passing game if they can. So, yeah, I think, you know, you look at his contract and it's pretty outsized, especially that year one cap figure, you know, so it's from a pure value standpoint, you know, it may be tough for him to meet that. But I think there's definitely a skill set that he brings that's different from what they had, on the roster already. So I think, yeah, you're basically in Kyle Shanahan, we trust with this type of move. You know, he seems to kind of know what he wants out of that position and has been very good at getting production from those guys in the past.
Coming up next on Locked On Bears, we'll dive into the trenches a little bit here with the 49ers and get David's take on the offensive line that brought in a couple new pieces and the defensive line that has some young guys looking to take that next step in 2018. Keep it locked here on Locked On Bears. We're talking San Francisco 49ers here with David Newman from Pro Football Focus on Twitter at @PFF_David. And, you know, I look at this San Francisco 49ers offensive line, and it wasn't a group that I particularly felt was bad last year, but they still went out. They signed Weston Richburg to bolster that center spot, and then they draft Mike McGlinchey there in the first round, probably sliding him at right tackle. I mean, is the expectation then for, you know, that bump up to maybe a top 10 offensive line, or am I judging them a little bit too strongly? Like, with, I know there were some concerns with Joshua Garnett at the right guard spot, and, you know, they're getting a little bit older and some other spots. I mean, where's your level of confidence in what this offensive line can do this season?
You know, I would say, like, cautiously optimistic with the offensive line. I think it's very easy to make a case that there's the potential here for this to be the best offensive line that San Francisco's had since kind of those early Jim Harbaugh years when they were, you know, one of the best, if not the best offensive line in football. So I think you see, you know, Staley still performing at a very high level at left tackle. Richburg has been a little more up and down recently, but the last time that he was fully healthy was our number one graded center in 2015 at PFF. And then McGlinchey was the top, tackle on our draft board this year. So I think there's a lot of pieces there that can point to maybe the potential for some high level play, right? Even at guard, they've got three former first rounders, basically working for the two guard spots. So there is some potential there. I have a little trouble believing at this stage that all of those kind of question marks are going to answer themselves positively, at least this season, right? Like even McGlinchey, somebody who I like, and I think in the long term is going to be a very good player for them. It's a little unreasonable, I think, to expect a rookie tackle to come in there and be great right off the bat and not to have some issues, especially he's going to have, really be tested from some of the pass rushers that he's going to face this season on the schedule there. You know, I think guard is also a fairly decent question mark, even with some of the guys they have there. I mean, Laken Tomlinson, they seem to like. He's going to really slot in at left guard. They signed him to an extension. But really, even with him, we're talking about, roughly a 5-game sample at the end of last season where he kind of really improved and played much better, doesn't have any sort of like long-term track record of success. I think the same goes for Jonathan Cooper and of course, Josh Garnett at the right guard spot right now. So there are a lot of question marks. And I think ultimately, like, they're going to be okay. I think they've managed to put themselves in a spot where there's not going to hopefully be a glaring weakness, right? Where you have this one player that just is such a liability up front. I think they're going to be able to avoid that type of situation and at least be solid across the board there.
What about on the other side of the trenches there? Particularly, the front seven, it's so young and a lot of former first round picks in that defensive line as well. I mean, do you have, what's your level of concern, particularly with the pass rush? Because I know, it's year two for Solomon Thomas and, he had his ups and downs in his first year, and Eric Armstead's kind of sitting on that other side with some injury history and some questions about his long term with the team. And then, boy, there's, Jeremiah Tochu, they signed this offseason, and some other younger guys there. But where is your level of concern then with the pass rush in particular?
I think the pass rush on the edge is definitely a very real concern for them. It was a terrible offseason to be in need of an edge rusher, right? You looked at the free agent class and all of the top guys there kind of got locked up with a franchise tag or stayed with their respective teams. So there wasn't a whole lot out there to be able to go after in free agency. And then at the draft, I think it was a pretty weak edge class overall. You had a couple guys, I was a big fan of Harold Landry, thought that it wouldn't have been unreasonable for them to look at him with that first round pick there at the top of the first. But beyond that, there weren't a lot of players, in the draft class that you could really point to that's like, yeah, they definitely should have gone and tried to upgrade there. So I think they're kind of in a spot where rather than try to grab a bunch of guys who probably aren't going to be the solution anyway, they've really tried to stick with what they've got, bank on maybe a little bit of improvement being another year into the system. But yeah, I think right now you're looking at guys like Cassius Marsh and Atauchu who have been really kind of bit role players at best during their career so far and have never really shown the ability to produce at a high level. So I think, yeah, that's going to be a concern. The pressure overall, I think, was a little bit better last year than the general perception is. They didn't get a lot of sacks. They were one of the worst teams in terms of generating sacks. But when it came to actually generating pressure, they were actually a little above average. I think we had them at like 13th or 14th in pressure rate last season. So they were able to bother the quarterback. I think for them last year defensively, the much bigger issue really came with coverage. So I think you can hope to be okay there with the interior players they have. I mean, Buckner has been excellent, and there's no reason to expect anything different from him. Solomon Thomas should hopefully get a little bit better in year two because it sounds like they're actually going to use him on the inside more in pass rushing situations. So I think that's a little bit more of a natural fit for him. So I think you're just hoping to kind of maintain what you did last year, right? And have a solid pressure rate, even if you're going to be a little weaker on the edge and hope that the increase or the upgrade in effectiveness from your coverage team can kind of help your defense overall.
Well, let's talk about that upgrade in effectiveness from the coverage team. It seems to me the secondary has quite a bit of youth there too, and not a lot of guys that aren't really well known outside of San Francisco until Richard Sherman came this offseason. With a lot of those younger guys, it seemed like they're on the up. The arrow's pointing up for guys like Akilo Witherspoon and Kawan Williams and Adrian Colbert. Is the expectation that Sherman is just kind of that bump up to really kind of hold everything together? Or, you know, how do you think this is going to play out with that whole group coming together?
This is probably the thing that I'm most interested in for this season, honestly. I think, like you mentioned, there's a lot of young players here that have shown, you know, some talent and have shown the ability to produce in kind of small stretches. But there's just so many question marks with this group. I mean, you start with Sherman, who has been great when he's been off the field, but obviously now he's going to be entering his age 30 season, coming off that Achilles injury. You're wondering where he's actually going to get back to and if he can recapture that previous level of play. So you start there, and then with all of the young players they have, Akella Witherspoon is a guy that I loved him coming out of college. I think he's an excellent fit for what they do and really played very well down the stretch last season. But again, still a young player entering only year two. Adrian Colbert, kind of a similar thing. You know, injury threw him into the lineup at free safety last year, really was able to take advantage when he was on the field and played pretty well. Jaquaski Tartt is another player that I think a lot of 49ers fans really like and has played well in stretches, but just hasn't been able to stay healthy. And then you look at what they did in the draft. So, I mean, Sherman was the big name there that they added this offseason, of course. But in the draft, once you got to day two and kind of early day three there, they really added a bunch of young coverage players there as well. I mean, you had Tavarius Moore, DJ Reed, Fred Warner, who is a player that kind of played, you know, that overhang position in college that doesn't really exist in the NFL, where he's kind of this hybrid slot corner slash outside linebacker slash edge player. So he's going to be making a little bit of an adjustment. But those are all three players who performed very well from a coverage standpoint in college. But strangely, are all three going to be playing new positions in this defense? So you have Moore that's going from safety to corner. DJ Reed played mostly on the outside in college. He's going to be playing either inside, or I know they tried him at free safety a little bit as a depth option there. And then Warner, of course, is going to be moving to more of an off-ball position there at linebacker for them. So you have a lot of pieces. They've really invested a lot of resources in fixing that problem. But it's just, again, there's so many question marks that it seems a little unreasonable for all of those to be answered positively.
After a quick break here, we'll wrap up our analysis of the San Francisco 49ers with more of a bigger picture look at what it's going to take for this defense to come together, and finally, what this 49ers team could do this season as far as wins and losses and potentially a playoff run in that NFC West division. That's next on Locked On Bears. Well, we're with David Newman from Pro Football Focus, breaking down the San Francisco 49ers today. And I appreciate this concept you've come back to a couple of times here about how many things need to go right, you know, on at certain positions for everything to come together. And I think that's something I've said a lot about the Chicago Bears over the past few months. But, you know, when you have a defense that's young like this, and I think you talked about it with the offensive line too, how many question marks are there, you know, across the board? You know, like how many things actually, you know, how many things are there? How many moving parts are there that do need to go right? And I guess, like, in that sense, how close do you think they are to, you know, really bringing it together as a consistent and top 10 potential defense?
So defensively, I think they're still a little bit away, right? I think they really do need to eventually find somebody who can apply a little bit more consistent pressure on the edge, because, you know, one of the things that our analytics team has done a great job of this offseason is kind of highlighting these areas that are more valuable than others, right? And one of the things that they looked at was pressure and where that pressure is coming from and what that can do for your defense. And edge pressure is just more valuable, right? It bothers the offense more. It leads to more turnovers. It leads to more sacks. So these kind of things that can really be drive enders for your defense tend to come a little bit more often from that edge rush as opposed to the interior, where they're really strong right now. So I think that's a concern. Again, everything there on the back end in terms of that coverage coming together. So I think it's fair to expect them to be a little bit better. I mean, they were really bad last year, right? Especially from a coverage standpoint. So defensively, it would be tough for them to get much worse. So I think you can expect, even if a couple of those players, those young guys, take a step forward and Sherman even manages to be okay, that's going to still be a significant upgrade from somebody like Dante Johnson, who they had as a starter last year. So I would be surprised if they didn't take at least a little bit of a step forward. But, really expecting them to be like a top 10 defense, you're having to check a lot of those boxes, you know, in the affirmative, right? And having a lot of things go right for them to make that happen this year. I think really the main thing and the reason that 49ers fans should be most optimistic if this is a team that's actually going to push for a playoff spot and manage to get over 500 this season, it really comes down to Garoppolo, right? Garoppolo is yet another question mark with this team and dealing with the small sample that we have on him. But I think he's the one that I would probably say I'm most confident is actually going to pan out. And when you pair him with a good coach like Kyle Shanahan, you know, those are the two most important checkboxes to have to be able to mark off there in head coach and quarterback. So I think that can mask a lot of the other things in the short term to at least help them be a bit more competitive and kind of be a team that at least is, you know, even if they're not in the playoffs, at least is a team that other teams in the NFC have to worry about.
So, yeah, let's go there. How far can Jimmy Garoppolo and Kyle Shanahan carry this team, even with potential deficiencies? I mean, you know, you look at this was a 1-10 roster before Jimmy Garoppolo came in, and obviously he wins five games, and, you know, you talked about that's not necessarily, you know, a long-term winning streak plan, but, I mean, is it too early for playoffs to be in that range, or, you know, is this – I guess how many things would have to go right for the playoffs? I mean, maybe not a Super Bowl run, but, you know, and then from a schedule standpoint, I know they have the AFC West, which won't be too bad, but of course playing the Rams twice and got to play the Vikings and the Packers too. I mean, where's kind of your expectations for a general range of wins?
So I think that right around that 8-win mark, you know, for me, I think they can get over that. I think 9-7 is kind of where I seem to land on them whenever I think about it, try to come up with a record prediction. I think, yeah, it really comes down to just having a lot of faith in Kyle Shanahan as a coach and having faith in Jimmy Garoppolo's ability to be, even if he's not, you know, necessarily a top five quarterback right away. I think the play, there's a lot of elements of his play, even in that small sample, that make you very encouraged that he can kind of continue that over a larger, you know, a full season and beyond. So I think, yeah, that 8-9 win range, you go back to the schedule, you know, you mentioned some of the opponents they have there. I think that's actually one thing that if we're looking back on this season at the end of it and the 49ers ultimately were a playoff team, I think the schedule is going to be one of the things that we point to as to why that happened, because by virtue of finishing last place in the division last season, they do have a little bit of an easier schedule compared to some of the other teams in the NFC, and especially the easiest schedule in the NFC West. So that's going to be something that I think can help them, you know, if they manage to outperform those expectations just a little bit. But yeah, I think hovering around 500 for what they showed offensively during those last five games and, you know, even expecting a little bit of a step forward from the defense, that range seems to make sense to me.
Well, David Newman is a now full-time analyst for Pro Football Focus, formerly of the Better Rivals podcast, where he talked about the 49ers like he did today. You can follow him on Twitter at @PFF_David. David, your 49ers analysis, as always, you know, you're no rust since leaving the podcast. What was it, probably a week now since your last one there?
Yeah.
So phenomenal work as always, and I appreciate you coming on.
Thanks so much for having me on, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks again to David Newman from Pro Football Focus for joining us on the podcast today. If you enjoyed our conversation and just enjoy tuning in to Locked On Bears every day, please do yourself a favor and do us a favor by subscribing to the podcast on whatever app it is that you choose to use to listen to your shows. While you're there, if you're feeling so inclined, you could leave us a nice review as well. That always helps us move up the rankings a little bit and find new listeners to tune in to your favorite Chicago Bears podcast. As this week continues to roll around, we will preview Thursday's upcoming preseason game against the Cincinnati Bengals, and then on Friday, we'll have your recap podcast out, breaking down everything that we learned from the game, the players who stood out, the players who struggled, all that good stuff. I thought we had some great analysis last week with the Hall of Fame game. I might try and get some other voices in here as well involved with the pre- and post-game analysis, but it's football season. I know everybody's schedule gets a little bit more tight, so we'll see what we can do, and hopefully we'll have some fun along the way and bring you that informative and entertaining Chicago Bears analysis that you have come to expect from Locked On Bears. hope you'll keep it locked here all throughout the week, all throughout the preseason and the regular season, because we will have plenty of daily Chicago Bears content coming your way. And in the meantime, as you wait for that next episode to come out, all you can do is bear down.